Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The passage of St. Luke's Gospel that we've heard from today consists of the first two of a set of three simple parables. First of all, a shepherd has 100 sheep and one is lost. The shepherd leaves the 99 and pursues the one until the lost is found. And when the lost sheep is found, he carries that little one on his shoulders until it is safe with the others, and he finally calls his friends together to celebrate with him that the lost was found. Secondly, a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, and she pursues this lost coin as the shepherd pursued his lost sheep. And likewise, when she finds her coin after sweeping the house to find it, she calls her friends together to celebrate that what was lost has been found. What's not included in the passage for today, but will be contemplated on the ninth Sunday after Trinity, is the story of the prodigal son, which of course follows the first two vignettes and parables. And there, in a passage that will be more completely thought about and discussed on that day, one may see that the stakes in Jesus's progressive storytelling here, the stakes have risen drastically. The prodigal son is not one in 100 sons. He's not one in 10 sons. He's one in two. He's 50% of the household heirs. It's even crude to speak in those terms. He's not a number or a percentage loss. The son is something like the beating heart of the father. And if he's lost, it is an incalculable loss. Here are three parables, and one could say it's kind of a poem in three stanzas. A poem, when well written, takes vast and important ideas and thoughts and compresses them down into just a few words. Ideas about which volumes could be written are pressed down into a single page sometimes. And those words, as vast ideas compressed into a few verbal images, may have truths drawn out from them seemingly without end, especially in the scriptures. And it's not, of course, that the verses rhyme. It's that the same words mean so many things at once. A truly well-composed poem, I believe, can be read over and over, and fresh new insights drawn time and again from one reader to another, and even from one reader in different contexts and different times of their own life. The parables of Christ are not so far from poetry as he speaks, and it's intentionally so. Our Lord means to capture your imagination, to receive his revelation about the relationship between divinity and humanity, to ponder it, perhaps even to have more than one gasping realization about his words. And so consider today two ancient interpretations of these parables given to us by St. Ambrose of Milan. Perhaps not first, but at least it is an ancient interpretation, to be sure. In one look at this set of parables, he finds there just what we would expect. St. Ambrose suggests that we ought to see ourselves in the lost sheep, the lost coin, and even the prodigal son. St. Ambrose writes, "The woman did not idly rejoice to find her coin. The coin, having the image of the emperor, is not ordinary. The image of the king is the register of the church. We are sheep. Let us pray that he would be pleased to place us beside the water of rest. We are sheep. Let us seek pastures. We are coins. Let us have a price. We are sons. Let us hurry to the Father." When the parables are read as poetry, the first interpretation is right. Jesus is not talking about sheep or coins or prodigal sons so much. He's talking about us. He's talking about you. And the first gasping realization in this interpretation is that you are valuable to God. And the shepherd is willing to search for you. Several of the church fathers considered it a valid interpretation of the parable to see the lost sheep as humanity in its entirety, and the 99 as the heavenly host. The incarnation itself was the shepherd coming to find and rescue his beloved creation, his lost sheep. Recall the great Christmas hymn, O Holy Night, and consider one powerful phrase in particular. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. You may feel worthless in yourself, but that is not how you are viewed by God. The incarnation itself is evidence of the soul's worth. The first realization is that you are valuable to God. Not others are valuable, but not me. No, you are valuable and highly esteemed by God, regardless of your self-esteem. Plain and simple. In this reading, we also are right to sympathize with the shepherd and the woman and the father, knowing in our own experience just what it is to have lost something valuable and what it is to search. We know what it feels like to suddenly find what we're looking for. This common experience is what we're given to understand God feels like, if that was something that could be said. Indeed, what all the angels in heaven feel like when one soul is found, as Jesus says. The host of heaven was sick with worry over you. And then one day what was lost was found, and it is party time. And that's no joke. It's in the Bible. Party time. Many a sermon has been preached with this interpretation because it is a right interpretation. But St. Ambrose stands back, reads the parables again, and finds that this poetic allegory, these parables, may be deciphered in yet another way, especially concerning the brief parable of the lost coin. St. Ambrose writes in one of his pastoral letters, you have to listen closely to this because it comes fast, right at the beginning. Faith is the lost drachma that the woman in the gospel seeks diligently. We read that she lit a candle and swept her house. After finding it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, inviting them to rejoice with her because she has found the drachma that she lost. The damage to the soul is great if one has lost the faith or the grace that he has gained for himself at the price of faith. Interesting thing to think about there. You see the difference. Now, you are not the coin. You are the woman searching for the coin. And St. Ambrose asks you to consider that faith is like a silver coin, a price to be paid for the grace of God, even if the coin itself is a gift. And when you can no longer put faith down on the table, you no longer receive the grace of God. When faith is lost, that simple price can no longer be paid, and the grace of God may be lost. Shudder to think of it. But St. Ambrose makes the point, the grace of God is acquired at a price, and the price that is paid is faith. You are saved, as St. Paul says, by grace through faith. The gift of God is free, but faith is always involved. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if this is the case for you in any measure, St. Ambrose says, don't just sit there. Do something. Get busy searching for that faith again, even if you can't find but just a mustard seed of faith. Plant it, water it, care for it. If your faith is strong and flourishing, thank God. Pay the price of faith. Receive the grace of God. Participate ever more fully in a banquet of divine glory and love and life. But if you've lost your faith, or even some of your faith, if you're wavering now, it is no time to sit still. St. Ambrose commands in his pastoral letter, saying, light your lamp. Your lamp is your eye, that is the interior eye of the soul. Light the lamp that feeds on the oil of the Spirit and shines throughout your whole house. Search for the drachma, the redemption of your soul. If a person loses this, he is troubled. And if he finds it, he rejoices. When the parable is read that way, when the words of Christ are heard with this interpretation, it becomes no less personal, but much more applicable to the interior life. It is not God that is seeking us in this interpretation. It is we who are seeking him, and our faith that has been weakened, neglected, or lost is sought. And most of us can relate to something like this. There was a time, no doubt, when you recall everything seemed whole, and all of the coins were in your possession, when all of our faith was accounted for, and then some distraction, some tragedy, some difficulty shook us so that we might say we sensed something of our faith had been shaken too, something of our faith had even been lost. And we ask, will it ever be the same as it used to be? Periodically, I have the privilege of offering premarital counseling to young couples. And one of the things that must always be said has to do with conflict and perseverance. Something will happen in this relationship, I always warn, that will shake you. Some difficulty will occur such that you will wonder whether a piece has been lost. And what's needed then is perseverance. And the greater the difficulty, sometimes the sweeter the reconciliation. After years of persevering through difficulty, there can often be a mutual appreciation and love that is made ever the sweeter for the degree of difficulty that has been overcome. In our own lives, has the drachma, the coin of faith, been lost? Does it seem good and lost now? Persevere then. By the Spirit of God, that faith will be found again and renewed, all the more sweet now, for all that had to be overcome to bring that faith home again. Have you noticed that nowhere in these parables of Jesus does the shepherd, the woman searching for her coin, or the prodigal son's father ever say, well, 99 is pretty good. One coin out of 10 lost, that's not such a great loss. One out of two sons, that's not so bad. Let's just go home and give up the search. Never. For each, the loss is too much to bear. The loss consumes the mind, and the pursuit is on until that which is lost is found. What if St. Ambrose's second reading is considered? What if we were to recognize within ourselves that it is some measure of faith that's been lost? What would the search look like? Are we permitted to say, we have some faith left, 9 out of 10, that's not bad. Jesus is saying to us today through parable and poetry that slumber is not acceptable in this circumstance. He says, if I'm going to search for you, and you begin to understand by my incarnation just how the soul finds its worth, then as a Christian who takes my name as your own, it is your appropriate response to get up, rekindle your lamp, fill it again with the oil of the Spirit, get off of your couch and begin to search. Fill the house with light and find that lost sheep, that lost coin. If there is a faith in you that has been lost, then you are troubled. It is not an acceptable situation. And you may stop now prioritizing lesser things and get searching. The shepherd seeks you out, and likewise you too must, like him, search for that which is lost. The shepherd will find you, believe it, and your faith will be restored, believe it. The Spirit of God that was granted you at your baptism, that was strengthened at your confirmation, the Holy Spirit meant to guide you and nourish you, he is ready. Be filled again and be renewed again. Light your lamp and see again. Fill that dark house with light once more. Find that which has been lost and persevere even in the darkest hour. How precious will the restoration be when true joy returns, which it will. Not by your own power, but by the power of the Spirit. Ready yourself to join with the shepherd who sends out the call to the heavenly host. Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep, which was lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.